Fox Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, the 10th of October. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, the Chief Minister has been unable to confirm the cost of setting up the National Office for Artificial Intelligence. Meanwhile, the boss of Manx Care insists the closure of a ward at Ramsey Cottage Hospital won't place additional pressure on other services. And the Woodburn Pub has raised almost £2,000 for charity as it marks its 130th anniversary. All those stories and more on the way for you. Drop me a message if you want to say hello, text WhatsApp to 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. Well, first of all, though, let's get the latest with Simon Richardson.
Manx Care is not anticipating any additional knock-on pressures at Nobles Hospital from the temporary transfer of patients from Ramsey Cottage Hospital's Martin Ward, according to the chief executive. The ward at Ramsey is to close towards the end of October for around 4 weeks during work to deal with a pest control issue. A new campaign has been launched to raise awareness of the potential pitfalls of dealing in cryptocurrency. The campaign's being run by the Isle of Man Bankers Association with support from the police, the Financial Crime Partnership and the Cyber Security Centre. The initiative is driven in part by a rise in the number of sophisticated crypto scams, which have seen people lose their life savings to scammers. The Festival of Choirs returns to the Villa Marina this weekend. Starting tonight, the annual choral competition sees groups from the island and further afield take part to win the title Choir of the Festival. The idea for the event, which started in 2010, came from the late Jeff Corkish, a former MHK and director of the festival who passed away last month. International headlines: tens of thousands of Palestinians have started returning towards northern Gaza after Israel and Hamas agreed to a ceasefire. Around 1 million people fled because of the fighting. The Israeli military has confirmed its troops have withdrawn to new agreed boundaries. A migrant who travelled to the UK on a small boat has been found guilty of threatening to kill Nigel Farage. Fayaz Khan, who's from Afghanistan, posted TikTok videos. And a man who stabbed a teenage Syrian refugee to death in Huddersfield will spend at least 23 years behind bars. Alfie Franco murdered Ahmad al-Ibrahim on a busy shopping street in April. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Simon Gurumayad, thank you. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Cloudy and dry through this evening and overnight. Light west or northwest wind and a minimum temperature of 9 degrees Celsius. Getting a little bit chilly, isn't it? Dry and largely cloudy tomorrow to start, then bright or sunny intervals possibly developing as the day progresses. Light winds and a top temperature of 15 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 5 minutes past five on Manx Radio's Update. Welcome to the programme. The Chief Minister has been unable to confirm the cost of setting up a National Office for Artificial Intelligence Development and Regulation. Alfred Cannon also couldn't say whether the new body would operate independently or within an existing government department. Speaking at the government conference, he said the office would help government and business work together to shape the island's response to artificial intelligence. But when asked if the plans were costed or simply aspirational, he only said it would have a minimal budget.
At the moment, we have a digital agency. They are working with business and consulting with business and indeed looking at other countries and how they have put together their national AI offices. Everybody is still coming to terms with trying to understand exactly what they need to do in order to maximise the opportunities and prepare for the future.
So do we have a budget, though?
It is an ongoing exercise. So at the moment, what will happen, that planning process is in place in terms of actually what this will actually look like. I am hoping that it's going to be done at minimal budget.
But if you've announced it in the government conference, you must have had more than just a nice idea. It must be costed in some way.
This is about setting the tone and setting the clear objective, giving reassurance to business and the community that the government understands what we are potentially facing as a society as this AI technology develops and rolls out. I think at times you have to step forward and put in place the structures to adapt the strategies that we need when faced with such significant potential change in the way that technology is engaging with us as a society.
It would almost be like a new department. We'd have Department for Enterprise, Department of Infrastructure. We'd have a Office of Cybersecurity. We'd also have an Office of AI Development.
I think you're getting ahead of the situation. We have announced it will be an office. How that office will look in terms of its positioning within government needs to be addressed. And the reason why we are consulting quite extensively with members of the private sector who are knowledgeable in this area is to ensure that we do get this right. We also have to understand how that fits in with, for example, the Operations Performance Board, which is also operating in terms of driving forward government efficiencies.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon speaking with me there. 7 minutes past five, Manx Care says it isn't expecting extra pressure on services while Martin Ward at Ramsey Cottage Hospital is closed for maintenance. The ward is due to shut towards the end of this month for around 4 weeks to allow pest control works to be completed. Chief Executive Theresa Cope says the project is designed to take as little time as possible with the aim of reopening before Christmas.
We advised everybody yesterday of this change. That transfer of patients is 2 weeks away. So not all the patients who are on Martin Ward today will be transferred. Some of them may have been discharged. And what we're now looking at over the next 2 weeks ahead of that move is not potentially transferring someone up to Martin Ward who then has to transfer back. So it is being planned with military precision here operationally, as you can imagine.
I know you said the staff will be relocated as well. In terms of any added pressure on the hospital?
Well, we are running into winter, so it's naturally a time of year when it does get busier for us. But no, I mean, the private patient ward is extra bed space. And obviously, there's a transfer of the beds from Martin Ward directly into the private patient unit. So we don't anticipate this will have any additional knock-on pressures around beds on Nobles. But as you know, we're sort of heading into our busier period of the year.
Some people will hear pest situation and worry about hygiene and infection. What's been the impact on patients? Has there been any impact on them?
There's been no impact on patients, but it is appropriate that we take all the steps to maintain that and not compromise that in any way.
Tim O'Neill was on Man in Line. There was a caller that called through asking about any closures at the facility in the north, and he said there were no plans to close the facility. What assurance do you have that this won't happen?
I can understand that people may make those connections, but there is absolutely no plans to close Martin Ward. We have reduce the number of beds on Martin Ward, but that was a planned reduction in line with seeing the impact of some of the other initiatives like intermediate care. We intend to be relocated and off Martin Ward for the shortest amount of time, so four weeks is what it's scheduled for. That may run out by a couple of weeks, but we absolutely intend to be back on Martin Ward before Christmas and continuing to run up to the 20 beds that we've got there.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
When one of our reporters walked along Port Erin Beach earlier this week, they were met with a sad sight: four dead seal pups washed ashore, presumably in the aftermath of Storm Amy and those high winds we saw over the weekend. When seal pups are spotted on the coastline, whether dead or alive, the advice is to contact the Manx Wildlife Trust or the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture. Lewis Foster has been speaking to Dr. Lara Howe, MWT's Marine Conservation Officer.
They're not the best of swimmers when they're first born, unfortunately. And as a result of that, we will see casualties. Sometimes they just have injuries, maybe a broken bone or something like that, or some scrapes and grazes from getting knocked on rocks. But of course, sometimes we do have fatalities as well.
Was it just isolated to Port Erin, or have you had quite a number from around the island this week?
We've had a few from other locations around the island. I think Port Erin's probably had a lot of reports because it's a very public and very busy beach. But yeah, we've had reports all around the island. But we've also had a few live strandings as well. So quite often beaches where the pups were born on might not be ideal once it gets really windy and stormy. So sometimes they'll get washed off the rocks or the beach and get moved to another place. So we've had a few pups haul up in other places where we wouldn't generally expect to see them. The advice I would just give to people generally is please keep your distance. Please keep dogs away. I had an email literally yesterday that somebody reported to me that somebody had been down and touched a seal pup on a beach, which caused the mum to flee back into the water, which potentially could have caused injury to the mum and also could result in the pup being abandoned by mum, because the pup will then pick up the scent of this person who's touched it. They are wild animals. They should not be touched and need special training should they be picked up. If we recover any seals, we've all had the appropriate training through Marine Mammal Medics, through the BDMLR in the UK. They can be very nasty and give you an awful bite, and they have terrible bacteria in their mouths, so traditional antibiotics will not work if you do get bitten. So for your own safety and that of the seal, please do not touch them.
Marine Conservation Officer Dr. Lara Howe speaking there. Now, have you ever considered investing in cryptocurrency? Don't worry, I'm not an Instagram influencer trying to sell you something, but if you know what I mean by that, then you'll know how prevalent those scams are on social media. The Office of Cybersecurity has launched a new awareness campaign to highlight the potential pitfalls of dealing in crypto, prompted by a rise in the number of sophisticated crypto scams, which have seen some lose significant sums of money to criminals. Mike Hayward is the director of Oxia and told me what to watch out for.
What typically tends to happen is that you may see an advert somewhere online where it's advertising the opportunity to invest in cryptocurrency. And if you then contact them, then they will very often put you in touch with an advisor who will tell you how to go about making an investment and potentially make some recommendations as to what you should invest in. Usually what will happen is that they will show you quite quickly that you've made some returns, you've made a profit, and they would potentially even allow you to withdraw some of those initial profits. But often what has happened is that in order for them to set up your account, you've given them access to your computer, and they're there and able to get up to no good, if you want to put it that way, and potentially then take money from your legitimate accounts.
And globally, there have been high-profile cases where influencers have promoted coins that turned out to be scam. For example, the major esports organisation FaZe Clan, they did the Save the Kids token. Are there kind of common warning signs that people should be watching out for? Because people have lost enormous amounts of money due to these fraudulent coins before.
Yeah, I mean, the red flags, if you like, that we would suggest that you should look out for are unsolicited offers or social media ads about cryptocurrency investments. Where there's a guarantee or suggestion of risk-free profits, pressure to act quickly, limited offer, don't miss out.
And do you think the culture of online celebrity, social media hype, things like that, do they make it harder for ordinary investors to separate legitimate projects from fraudulent ones?
Yes, I mean, what we're seeing is that deepfakes, as they're known, and fake websites are making the scams look more professional and authentic. Very often there's personal contact from a friendly trainer that helps the investor build confidence. There's promises of guaranteed profits, which would appeal to everyone. There's this sense that cryptocurrency is still seen as something that's new and exciting. And so cryptocurrency investments feel modern and exclusive, and giving it an extra sense of appeal.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's start with taking a look on the roads. In Braddon, temporary lights on the Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge. Meanwhile, in Sandton, the Mount Murray Back Road is closed for the building of a concrete underpass. Temporary lights on the Southern 100 course between Ballacagan and Ballabeg, 24 hours a day for stonewall repairs. Meanwhile, in Patrick, there are temporary lights on the main road through the village at the Patrick Road Junction for water main work. And of course, as usual, the mountain road is closed from Brandywell to the Craig for drainage work. Take a quick look down at the steam packets. All is looking good there. Manxman due back in Douglas at 5:40, just under half an hour. Down at the airport, on the arrivals board, a couple of things to be aware of, I suppose. 4:50 Aer Lingus, that's delayed until 6:05. Also, the 5 o'clock Manchester, that's due to be in a few minutes' time, actually. On the departures board, meanwhile, 5:20 Aer Lingus to Dublin, that's not due to be getting away until 6:20. So about an hour's delay.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
This is Andy Wint, and two party leaders are next on Man in Line. Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper heads Liberal Vanin. Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher leads the Manx Labour Party. Lib Van has one MHK, Manx Labour two. So how much clout do the parties wield, and how do they approach the future for the Isle of Man, and not least the prospect of re-election in less than a year's time? Do they have the policies to stimulate economic growth, to fund spending on health and social care? Call the Man in Line answer phone on 682-631 or talk to the Manx Labour and Liberal Venom Party leaders on Man in Line this Tuesday at midday on smart devices, on air, online, on Manx Radio.
Thanks, Andy. I stand corrected. Actually, the Manxman is already back in Douglas, so it won't be here in half an hour's time. It's already here. Now, 17 minutes past five, planning consent is being sought for a major project to transport sediment from the Peel Silt Lagoon to Cross Vein Mine on the outskirts of Foxtel. If approved, the project will represent a major step forward in dealing with the material, which is contaminated with heavy metals. Simon Richardson is back with us in the studio now. Simon, assuming planning approval is given, what is proposed here?
Well, the thing is, Christian, the DOI says the transported silt would then be treated on site at the Cross Vein lead mine, after which it would be used as part of remediation work around the area, including the placement of a capping layer to reduce surface runoff and leaching of underlying heavy metal impacted soils. Now, as part of the development, a settlement pond would be constructed, along with a temporary treatment plant, work access tracks, drainage ditches, fencing, and then some landscaping works.
Okay. For the purpose of clarity, I suppose, where exactly is Cross Vein?
I have to admit, I wasn't too sure either, Christian. Well, it's actually situated south of Culm Cross, which is around a mile west of Foxdale Village. The site itself comprises part of the former Cross Vein lead mine workings, covers about 12.6 hectares of land. It includes various infrastructure, such as historic mine engine stacks, some fences, and sediment-managed areas.
Okay. In terms of quantity, just how much sediment is it planned to treat as part of this project?
Well, the DOI's planning application says approximately 16,000 cubic metres currently stored in the lagoon will be treated, so a pretty significant quantity.
And I assume the transport of so much bulk material, that would be a significant project in itself.
Indeed, Christian. And as part of its application, the DOI says the dredged sediment would be transported to Cross Fane during a three-month period between August and October next year. Assuming 8 cubic metres of sediment per heavy goods vehicle load and a 22-day working month, they estimate there'll be 60 two-way truck movements per day. That's 30 arrivals and 30 departures.
Simon, thank you very much for that, Gurumayad. Let's turn our attention to the Infrastructure Minister, who says the department has no plans to take over the operation of the Northern Civic Amenity site. Ramsey Commissioners has been operating the site on behalf of the DOI following its potential closure in April earlier this year. Michelle Haywood says if none of the Northern authorities want to take it on, the department will put the site out to tender for private contractors. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to her.
As an interim measure, Ramsey agreed to provide the management of the site for a period of 1 year. That contract comes up at the end of this financial year and we need somebody to take over managing the site. So our initial step was to write to all of the Northern authorities and to ask them if they were interested in stepping up and taking over the site and the management of the site, because we thought that was the most sensible option. It's how the other sites are all run, is by local authorities providing those management services. In the event that that doesn't transpire and that none of the Northern boards are comfortable to do it, our plan is to go out to procurement, and so we'll go and find somebody to run the site. Ramsey have told us that they don't want to continue doing it after this financial year, so we need somebody else to operate it, and obviously then we'll be looking to recover the cost of that from the local authorities, because it is something that is charged for in people's rates.
What consideration then has been given from the department about taking on the site itself? Have you even considered that as an option at all?
Well, we currently have the site. Whether we could put operatives in there to do it, I don't have the staff to put in somebody to manage the site and the operatives to be there on site and to get the site up and fully running, including things like the reuse centre. We just haven't got the staff to do that. So it will be a contract that we need to put out. But we are in the throes of working out what that procurement exercise looks like, and we'll be going out to tender for that.
So what is the DOI hoping will be the final outcome of the saga then? Is it that the local authorities come together and figure out themselves? What do you want the final outcome to be?
I would rather that the local authorities got together, got the committee back together again and agreed how they were going to run it and how they're going to fund the site. I would rather that the DOI wasn't involved at all. However, we are taking the responsible position that it's not acceptable to leave that whole slice of the island without any access to an amenity site.
Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood speaking there.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
22 minutes past five, the Woodburn pub in Douglas has raised nearly £1,900 for charity to mark its 130th anniversary. Earlier this year, it hosted the Woody Family Fun Day to raise money for Crossroads. The charity supports those caring for family and loved ones on the island. Trevor Latus is the pub's landlord.
5 years ago, the pub was 125, and we had a wonderful chap called Mark Shimmin, who did loads and loads of work for us, and he did this wonderful thing for the 125th birthday. Sadly, Mark passed away a couple of years ago, so I took it upon myself to try and do a 130th and do it as a big fundraiser.
And 130 years of the Woodburn pub, I mean, it really is such a staple of the community of Douglas, isn't it? Everybody knows the Woody.
Yeah, it's it gets quite tasking sometimes when you're out and you're having a quiet meal or you're just walking through town with them. Everybody stops you. How's the Woody? How's the Woody? What's new? What's going on? And is there anything coming up? But it's a real pleasure to do it.
And it shows that people care about it too.
Absolutely.
Even after all the time.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall 130 years ago when people were saying, oh, we don't want that sort of thing around here. Now, you know, everybody loves it. It is a really, really just great traditional local pub.
What do you think has been the success for the Woodburn over those 130 years as well, particularly in a time in recent years where we've seen pub after pub having to close its doors? What do you think it is about the Woodburn that means it can keep its doors open and keep being such a big part of its community?
Number one, it's a friendly environment. It accepts everybody, and I think that's important. You kind of leave your ego at the front door when you walk in, and it doesn't matter who you are, you'll always get a warm welcome in here.
What was it about Crossroads that made you want to choose them to raise some money for?
I think it's Maddie. Maddie works behind the bar here, and you know, she's a great fundraiser for Crossroads, and we just said, right, that's the one.
And how does it feel being here today and being able to present Crossroads with a pretty sizable cheque?
Extremely proud. extremely proud, not just for myself, but for the pub, for the customers, for everybody who did anything whatsoever on that day. So proud.
Well done to the Woodburn Pub, raising almost £2,000 for charity, marking its 130th anniversary. Those funds going to Crossroads. Right, we'll turn our attention to sports up next.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
25 minutes past five. We'll turn our attention to sport, and we can say fast am I to Darren Timpson.
Fast am I. Starting in football, an FC Alamann are looking for their first win under temporary boss Rick Holden on Saturday. They face Litherland Remaker away in the North West Counties Football League after a 3-1 loss to South Liverpool in midweek. The fixture will kick off at 3 p.m. at Litherland Sports Park. On the local scene, the bottom two sides of the Canada Life Premier League match up this weekend as Old Boys host Foxdale. The away side are yet to take a point from this season so far and will be looking to take inspiration from its Combi side, who beat Peel 3-2 last weekend. Elsewhere, Laxey, whose match was postponed due to weather last weekend, returned to action at home to Braddon. Laxey will be looking to keep their unbeaten start and keep the pressure on league leaders Corinthians, who are currently 3 points clear at the summit. They travel to St John's United. In the Arden and Drogon Division Limited 2, front runners Castletown will be looking to make it 7 wins from 7 when they head to Pullrose United. The Southerners are currently 4 points clear at the top ahead of second place Colby, who are still undefeated so far and are on the road to St George's. On Sunday, defending Canada Life Women's League champions Peel will be hoping to finally get their season started after several postponements in the opening few weeks of the campaign. The Western side host Douglas Royal. On to rugby, Douglas are at Portici this weekend, where they'll face Northwich Club at Winnington Park in the Regional 2 Northwest. Historically, the sides have met 12 times in 50 years, with Douglas on 7 wins to 5. Meanwhile, Vagabonds and Ramsey are both on the road this weekend in the County 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire. Vagabonds head to Ashton under Lyne, while Ramsey go a bit further north to Colne and Nelson. And in hockey, two teams remain unbeaten in the mixed Premier League. Backers A currently sit top of the division with 8 points and will face Backers B on Saturday. Meanwhile, Castletown Celts, who are on 6 points, are away to Vikings B.
Good reminder. Thank you very much for that, Darren. Well, that's it for Update this evening and this week. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Ben Cunningham is sitting in for Rob with Friday Sport up next. He'll be followed by Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits. The Kane brothers are in the hot seat from 9, then Rian Evans, taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. Have a good weekend. Beth is back with you from next week. So until next time, take care. Bye-bye for now.